Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
So just breaking news in the last few minutes, inflation across the euro area rose again in August from 8.9% in July to 9.1%. That's according to the latest flash estimate of inflation by the EU's statistical agency Eurostat. Ireland's inflation fell back in August to 8.9% from 9.6% in July. Energy, of course, remains the biggest contributor to inflation, rising across the euro area at an annual rate of 38.3% in August. And as we know, the cost of living crisis is set to dominate the upcoming budget in just a few weeks' time. And last week we spoke on the programme about how people on a fixed income or those who take home below average income struggle most when it comes to paying those rocketing bills. And Adam Maguire from RTE's Business Desk joins me again now to continue that discussion. Good morning to you, Adam.
Hi, Claire, how are you?
So with the backdrop of those inflation figures, we're focusing on how people who are less well off are hit hardest by any financial crisis. And we're going to start by talking about the unbanked and the underbanked. So explain to us what that means.
Yeah, so unbanked people, people who don't have access to any kind of bank or payment account. Underbanked people who are people who might have access to an account, but it doesn't give a full suite of services that, you'd want from a bank account. So in Ireland, that might be someone who has a basic credit union account or a building society account, and you know, might allow them to lodge and withdraw, or maybe even transfer, but they might be able to set up direct debits, or they might have a payment card that they can use in a shop to spend their money. So it's not a full service.
And is that a big problem here in Ireland?
Well, it's actually really hard to get up-to-date figures on this. It certainly has been a problem in the past, and it's a problem internationally as well. The most financially disadvantaged people tend to be pretty much excluded from the financial system. We have a study from the ESRI about 11 years ago, which estimated that there was no one with a bank account in 20% of homes here. So that's a huge proportion of households with no bank account. I've come across some other statistics saying that more than 95% of the adult population here now have a bank account, which sounds pretty good, but when you do the sums on that, you're talking about upwards of 170,000 adults in the country with no bank account. So a big chunk of the population.
Now, some people who are having to switch their accounts are probably saying, I wouldn't mind not having a bank account at this moment in time. But why is it a problem to be unbanked or underbanked?
Well, I mean, if you think about some of the basic things that you'd use your bank account for, you can see how you'd very quickly come into problems by not having one. So, you know, you might struggle to get your employer to pay you if you don't have a bank account. A lot of them just aren't set up to pay by cash or cheque nowadays. It'd be bank transfer only. It may also be more difficult to collect the likes of social welfare payments, even if it just means you have to go and collect it rather than having it transferred into your account. You know, we spoke last week about how the less well off can be disadvantaged by having to use time up to do things that if they had money, they wouldn't have to do. So going to and from the post office, maybe having to pay for transport, having to queue, all of that is time wasted when if they had a bank account, it could be transferred in. But not having a bank account also means you're not building up a financial profile and a record which can disadvantage you down the line. You're going to have trouble if you go looking for a loan, or maybe even if you're trying to rent a property, because they want to see you have reliable income that you can meet the repayments or you can meet the rent. And even if you're managing your cash well, if you don't have a record of that, a bank account showing that happening, it's going to be very hard to prove
it. You might be very good at managing your money, but no one knows
about
it.
No one knows, and you can't prove it, yeah.
So, and then on a day-to-day basis, not having a bank account must create problems if you just spend a moment thinking about what you use your bank account for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know that bank branches are closing. Even the ones that are staying open, they're increasingly hostile to cash. You know, AIB reversed its plan to make a number of its branches cashless, but that doesn't mean that they and all the other banks are really trying to nudge customers in the direction of not using cash services, trying to go cashless. As well as that, there are fewer ATMs around the place. And since the pandemic, more shops are encouraging people to use card, to use contactless. Some are even going contactless only, so you actually can't spend cash in there anymore. So we're clearly moving towards a cashless society, whether it's slower or fast. But on a very practical level, being unbanked is going to make it difficult for you on a day-to-day basis. And worst of all, especially in the current climate around money, not having a bank account almost certainly means you're going to be paying more for basic services than if you do have a bank account.
How is that? How does that work?
Well, if you've signed up to a new utility or changed provider recently or a new plan, whether it's gas, electricity, TV, broadband, mobile phone, whatever it is, they almost certainly offer you a discount if you pay by direct debit. That's attractive to them because it means they take the money when they need it. They don't have to chase you for it. But of course, if you've no bank account, you can set up a direct debit. So straight away, that might be 10% on top of the price of what you're paying. And some utilities offer online-only deals. They're their best deals. So again, if you can't pay by bank account or by direct debit, your options are limited. And it may mean you're going down the more expensive route, maybe the likes of pay as you go, which is almost always more expensive than bill pay. That's true, of course, of mobile phones, but also true of energy, electricity or gas. I checked on a comparison site recently, and the pay as you go options were all at the bottom of the chart in terms of what was offering the best value. In fact, any of the offers that allow me to pay by cash or check would have cost me more per year than what I was currently paying.
Okay.
The pay as you go option would have cost me €350 more than my current plan, because it's just more expensive. Not having a bank account also means you've no direct debit or a debit card, no credit card. That means you can't make online purchases, and we know that online is often the place where you get the best deals, and you can save a bit of money. You do have the option maybe of going for a prepaid credit card, but again, it's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you more, because prepaid cards, you could end up being charged for setting one up. There's a fee for setting them up. Topping them up might cost you. Even not using the card can cost you money as well. There's a fee for non-usage. I looked at one of the more popular prepaid examples. There was a €3 or €4 charge each time you top it up, depending on the amount you're topping up. A transaction fee of 75 cent to €3 per transaction. Again, depending on the amount. ATM withdrawals cost you €1.50. And then a €3.50 charge if you haven't used the card in 2 months. Mm-hmm. You get charged that every month. So all of that adds up to mean that the cost of having one of these prepaid cards is quite a lot, and it's a big chunk of your budget goes towards just having the card.
On the other side of that, if you don't have a debit card, you're not making those impulse purchases when you're lying on the sofa at 9 o'clock at night.
Well, yeah, there is a lot to be said. And again, I suppose it comes down to management, that you still need to be very disciplined even if you do have the debit or credit card. But it does exclude you from an awful lot as well by not having it.
So with all of that in mind, what are the reasons why somebody wouldn't have a bank account?
I suppose there's probably lots of reasons why people might be reluctant. There could just be a suspicion of banks. Maybe they're worried about getting scammed. We heard about the risks there earlier on. And maybe they've had financial problems in the past and they believe, rightly or wrongly, that that's simply not for them, that they're excluded from the system. But a lot of it comes down to the fact that having a bank account costs money as well, just like not having one does. Across all of the banks here, you have fees for using a bank account, and they're significant enough, just the privilege of having one. Some cases, €72 flat fee annually just for having an account, no matter what you use it for, whether you use it or not. Some have a smaller fee, but then they charge transaction fees and transfer fees and so on, which can rack up quite quickly. It could be 20 or 30 cent for a chip and pin transaction. So if you use your card to buy a coffee, you're adding 10% on to the cost with a 30 cent a charge.
So it can
be
20 cent for a tap.
Depending on the bank, some it's free at the moment, but if you're using chip and pin, you could be paying a little bit extra as well. And I said 20, 30 cent on a small transaction is a fairly sizable chunk as well. One company has a 60 cent fee for withdrawing money from an ATM. So, you take 20 quid out, 60 cent on top of that. One that really bugs me is there's one bank that charges 20 cent for making an online transaction. So if you go onto your internet banking, move money from your current account to your savings account, say, you pay a small fee for that, even though you're doing it. You're not using their time, their staff.
That's a swizz now.
Yeah, it's a bit all right. And these are all standard things, because then you get into all of the other stuff that people might have to, pay fees for, especially those who don't have a financial buffer if a big bill hits. So if a direct debit lands into your bank account, you can't cover it. Some banks will charge you a fee for that unpaid item. Some utilities will also charge you then for having
their payment
missed. So you're paying on the double, and kind of an odd punishment that, not having money means your bill gets bigger as a result of that. If you want an overdraft to cover that, you're paying 25, €30 a year for that facility. Then you're paying interest on whatever, and a high interest rate on whatever you're using in the overdraft as well. So all of that adds up to, could be a sizable sum of money, and especially if you're on a low income over the course of a year, just for having a bank account.
And of course, our banking sector is shrinking, and we talk about trying to avoid high charges when it comes to banking. That's becoming more and more difficult because the choice isn't out there.
Yeah, people might remember a few years ago that most banks were offering customers some form of free banking. Maybe if you lodged a certain amount in every month, or you held a certain amount in your current account. Now, again, that can, go against the less well off, because they just might not have the money to meet those criteria. But at least the competition was there, that there was some way of avoiding fees. Today, though, most of those deals are gone. The best that's available is AIB, which refunds the fees on an account you pay your AIB mortgage out of. Again, though, you have to have a mortgage with AIB. You have to be in that position, which a lot of people aren't. Other than that, though, free banking is quite hard to come by. All of the main banks do offer a basic bank account, which have most of the same features as a current account, but there's fewer fees, smaller fees connected to it. There is a catch, though. Firstly, you can't have any other kind of payment account in the country. So that could include your credit union account or your building society account, depending on the features. And the fees are only waived for the first year as well. So after the first year, it essentially reverts to a standard current account with all those fees and charges. So it's really just a bit of a sticking plaster for people who are less well off.
They get you in the end, right?
Yeah, they always do.
Now, people, many people we know in this country are using the new financial apps, the fintech that's out there.
Yeah.
What about those in terms of charges and bridging the gap between those who are unbanked or underbanked and those who are?
Yeah, I think these have probably gone some way to closing that financial divide because they're fairly easy to set up. A lot of them come with low or no fees at all. So they could be a way of bridging it. But they don't always do the day-to-day things that you want. They're not necessarily a full bank account, so you might not be able to do direct debits and, you know, it might not be as easy to do money transfers. There are also other issues as well because, I mean, it's probably only a matter of time with some of them that they will start charging fees. Kind of a belief a lot of these companies are set up. They build market share and then once they have you, that's when they start ratcheting up fees as well. But even if they're not charging, you have to ask the question, well, then how are they making money? If they're not charging people to use the service, where do they make the money? And there's a concern that a lot of these apps are building their business model on user data. You know, just imagine how valuable it would be to know when and where you spend your money, when you have money and what kind of things you like to buy as well.
When the product is free or the product is never.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, if you have a soft spot for a certain brand and you've just been paid, an advertiser would pay a lot of money to know that and know to put an ad in front of you for their product. And, you know, you have a bit of money in your bank account, so now's the time to do it. So serious data privacy concerns around some of these money apps that are out there. And we don't want a situation where the less well-off have to effectively sell their privacy away in order to have access to basic financial services that, you know, other people are able to afford because they have a bit more money.
Okay. Fascinating, Adam. Thank you very much, Adam Maguire there. And we'll talk to Adam again soon, no doubt. Coming up, the death and legacy of Mikhail Gorbachev.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.